You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Morris Huddle with me, Bram. With me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, I'm fired up to announce that rejoining us after hell of long, a pious hoophead who once hit a stop sign and kept going on the advice of family, a Warriors fan with an unimpeachable resume who used his political knowledge to become best friends with O'Donnell Foyle, and an occasional co-host on this show who I would bet any amount of money did not listen to our last podcast with Ben Cruz, Mr. Marcus Taylor. What's going on, MT?
Hey, I did not listen, but I'm sure it was a good episode.
Shocking, dude. Completely shocking, except for not at all in any way. With that shit given to you in tow, one of the things we did with Ben, who was phenomenal, by the way, is we put together a heist team. The idea was that you are responsible for drafting a three-person team is going to go and rob a bank. The three positions are the person who plans it, the person who's the muscle, and then the person who can slowly talk any teller who's losing their mind back into reality, but still helping along. The role that we call the Ben Affleck role from The Town. And wild episode, a lot of great heist teams put together. But let me start it here, man. Who would your heist team be? Give us the planner, the muscle, and the person who calms them down.
And they all have to be Warriors?
No, but they do have to have a connection with the NBA, past or present.
Nice. Okay.
You want to think on it, and we'll come back to you at the end of this episode?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Okay. Know that we didn't give Maxime any room like that. And because of that, he had some questionable choices, including including worrying about whether or not the bank was defended by ninjas, a concern that no one has ever had at any stage ever. So we're giving you some time, which means your team better be pretty.
Well, I just assumed the bank was defended by ninjas. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually pirates, dude. It turns out it's a pirate defended bank. So you have to be very careful to give you some time to think on that. All right. In fact, we won't put it towards the end of the episode. Instead, let me give you boys an off the court report, something we haven't done for a while. And then MT will come to you and get those three names. Yeah. So the off the court report's pretty simple. And normally speaking, it's saved for people who cover the team. The idea is, if you listen to this pod, you know what the hell is happening between the lines. But the guys who cover it see the things that happen off the lines, and they can tell us stories about it. And this week, no guest, right? But I've got an off-the-court report, and I'm kind of cheating a little bit because it happened on the court, basically. But here it is. So I went to that first game against the Lakers, and the thing that stuck out to me was the relationship between Steph and CP3. Here's my report. Every single time there was a timeout, or every single time both players were out of the game and they were both sitting, Steph and CP3 not only sat next to each other, but were having what looked just via body posture to be really happy conversations, to the point that Steph was doing with CP3 what I thought I saw him doing with KD earlier in the relationship. The kind of thing where if somebody tells a joke, you overlaugh or you just use your facial expressions to say, we're going to be friends for a long time. You know, the kind of things that you would use during a first date, he was doing with Chris Paul. And so I couldn't hear them. I wasn't remotely close. My seats aren't that good. But, you know, from what I can tell, not only is Steph really invested in making sure that CP3 feels comfortable here and can contribute, but that investment is working. We are one game in and they seemingly already have a connection. So there's off the court report one. Here's the second one. And forgive me, it's a Lakers news thing, but it stuck out to me and it was hella funny. So Christian Wood, right? I had interest in Christian Wood. And from what I understand, I've never watched him play for one of my teams, but from afar I've watched. And my understanding of Christian Wood is that he has $20 million a year talent, but has an attitude, a fuck everybody, just presence that has forced his way out of multiple stops. And now he signed with the Lakers. And the idea I would imagine is, well, he's not going to do that with LeBron. And you've got to know, he has to know that all he has to do, dude, that all he has to do is just don't be an asshole. You know, your talent will take care of yourself, but show to the world that you can play within a team setting. Yeah. So that's our backdrop. I'm watching the game and it's about third quarter, halfway through. And the Lakers are running a play, what looked to call for a big man brings the ball up. They wait for Gabe Vincent to come around the screen. The big man gives the ball to Gabe Vincent. And then Vincent, I would imagine, is supposed to give it back to the big man for a three. So the play goes out. The big man throws the ball over to Gabe Vincent. Vincent gets the ball, is lightly guarded, but decides to shoot it anyways. And the thing that stuck out was that when the big man threw the pass to Gabe Vincent, he kept his hands out, kind of almost an acknowledging of like, no, I'm getting it back. I know it's going to be the three. And even after Vincent shot it, he kept his hands out. Now, as kind of a, what's going on, dude? You know, like, you should have passed it to me. And then the three went in. And that gentleman still had his hands out for another half second, just so Vincent could see, look, I know you made it, but come on, man. We know what the play was. I'll let you guess who that big man was. You know, the fact that it doesn't matter how many threes he hit, doesn't matter how many rebounds he got, doesn't matter if he hit Vincent with a nice 3-yard, nice pass, none of that. We know what he can do on the floor. His job assignment in that game was to show the world, look, dude, don't be an asshole. And it came so naturally to him that he just couldn't stop it. He had to keep his hands out for an extra second. So, you know, maybe that's the exception to the rule. Maybe it works out and this dude, you know, resurrects his career. But based on a single play, I'm happy they didn't bring him in. Locker room issue immediately and a very random and entertaining set of events. I spent the rest of the game watching only Christian Wood and leaning over and talking to my wife about him, who did not care at all. She did not like, not one observation did she find to be entertaining. All right, I vamped. MT, who's your team?
I'm gonna go for the planner to be Shane Battier.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Because there was this video clip of him talking about how he guarded Kobe, and he was talking about it. He was like, yeah, if he does this move, then I just force him to this part of that floor because he shoots 27% from this part. But if I force him over here, then he only shoots 17% if he does two dribbles. And it was like, the way he broke it down was like a savant of math. I was like Rain Man style. So I was like, okay, this dude is pretty smart. So I just figure he can put together a statistically significant chance of us getting away.
I love that pick. And I've always assumed his brain is hella big because of the weird ass folds on his forehead. So, I mean, that must be showing bank heist ability.
Exactly. They're highway grooves of information. Just flowing back.
I knew it this whole time. I hadn't been able to weaponize that information, but we have it now. Your muscle.
Now, you know, my muscle is John Stockton. So,
oh my God.
A, graded assists. So he's going to hand the money to me after he gets the actual money. But I think for muscle, you know, like I was like, oh, maybe you just go Marcin Gortat and just go Polish Hammer and, you know, just somebody who's legitimately muscle. But I think he calls too much attention to everything. So John Stockton walks into the bank and I don't think 80% of the bank even knows what's going on.
I mean, you're 100% right, but I think you may have swung too far on the other side of the spectrum, dude. Like, on one side is definitely like you're completely inconspicuous. The other side makes you an effective muscle man. You are all the way inconspicuous. Like, yes, no one will notice him, but also he is not enforcing anything. You don't have to worry about fucking John Stockton.
I don't know, man. He grabbed a lot of jerseys on those screens for Karl Malone. He's got some sneaky strength.
I tell you what, I will concede that if the ninjas guarding that bank are wearing jerseys, John Stockton will probably help you out. Finish it out. Who is the Ben Affleck?
It's Pirates too. Yeah. And the Ben Affleck, you just got to go Warriors. I'm just going to go Steph. I think that, you know, if you need somebody to do the gift of gab and talk your way up and have good media training background behind it, I feel like Steph just always gives the right answers, you know, whether or not they're full of insight, it's always the right thing that he says. So Steph.
Steph is always the right answer. And to no one's surprise, I am incapable of learning. Let me explain what I mean. So later in this episode, I have an apology ready. It's an apology to Dario Saric. One of the things you missed out on, MT, is we gave him shit about his facial hair. Turns out he has a cleft lip. And now I'm the asshole for having said that at all. So I have that apology. I have that apology on page 3. In the first paragraph, I shit out Shane Battier's forehead. So my apologies to Shane Battier, to Dario Saric, to everybody out there. This is a silly show with silly opinions. And my apologies to anybody I offended. Boys, golden questions. All right. So we have been getting, and for those who are new to the show, golden questions, our version of a mailbag. The always deal with the Warriors, occasionally get personal. This one does both. And we've been getting golden questions that I've just been kind of keeping in pocket until we got a 3-man booth going. So here we are. And here's the first. Let's hear from you, Marcus, because we haven't heard a Warriors opinion for a little while. Drop a grade for Mike Dunleavy's offseason. How do you do?
I think incomplete. I think you have to wait to grade it. I mean, on the surface level, you just look at what we traded a lot of youth for a lot of veteran leadership. We're obviously prioritizing this window and our vets. We're one of the oldest, if not the oldest team in the league. You know, I think it remains to be seen if those moves that capitalize on these next 2-3 years paying it out, you know, because we were supposed to have our next Steph, Clay, and Dre was supposed to be, you know, Poole, Kuminga, and Wiseman, and we see how that's going.
I think that's fair. What I would say is I think he was given a direction. You know, I don't think that he was given carte blanche and allowed to do whatever the hell he wanted to do. So it would be like someone, if you were a park guide that was taking a group around, but your boss has told him exactly where to go. And then that's where you went and came back. Any reviews wouldn't necessarily be fair. Whereas if it was just up to you, wherever you wanted to go, then you could be graded on it. And in this instance, I think they told him, stay the course. You know, here are the rookies who we already wanted. These are the types of veterans we want to bring in. And I think he accomplished all the goals that they put in front of him. But if it was a wider analysis, you know, if it wasn't like he was just given this plan to execute, I'd give him less, a lower grade. We just saw last night, Cam Whitmore, the guy who slipped all the way past the Warriors and was a possible lottery pick, look really good in his Houston debut. Jordan Poole, we'll find out. I mean, that goes towards that incomplete grade. So I think that it was a mission accomplished scenario for Mike Dunleavy, but we can still take a couple of shots at it if that makes any sense.
It does. I think, you know, Cam, a lot of people passed up Cam. So to be fair to Mike D, he wasn't alone in that. And they did a recent survey of NBA GMs and they valued Pods as a top 5 steal in the NBA draft. So I think GMs and, you know, the minds who are a lot smarter than ours at talent evaluation are all in on Pods. But I agree, to the eye test, it looks like Cam Whitmore was a big whiff.
Yeah, but I mean, sure. At the same time, we also drafted a big man in the second position at one point and then got ruthlessly mocked by pretty much the whole league as everybody said, well, it takes years for big men to develop, takes much longer than smaller positions. So to think that Cam Whitmore, when the games actually matter, is going to be able to make enough of an impact that we would have been patting ourselves on the back if we'd picked him at 19 and settled letting him slip all the way to 20, I think is a little bit premature. But I think it does speak to the larger point, which is that, as Draymond said, we do have a size issue. And I think it was exposed in that Lakers game. You know, I mean, Anthony Davis, whoever, felt like they were repeatedly going at Kevon Looney, repeatedly going at Dario Saric. And then when either of them were in the game, it was Kuminga. You know, they're exploiting our size. And granted, the Lakers are a big team. We know that. But so is Giannis Antetokounmpo. So is Nikola Jokic. The people that are at the top of the league that everybody has as the title favorites or in the title contention are large teams. And it is concerning that we, you know, we didn't make a step up in that regard. I think it's fair to give him an incomplete, but I would say, you know, we're not, that's because we're not at the end of term yet, right? You get a grade for your work over the course of the season, let's say, but this was, you know, he took a midterm here. And I would give him a B minus. I think he did a fantastic move by taking Chris Paul, because that's probably, you don't pass on a player of this caliber, as I've learned, but it really did sort of hamstring us from using resources to go after somebody that maybe isn't as talented overall as Chris Paul, but fits more of a position of need that we needed.
I'll dig at, and I think that uncovers the one thing I feel very comfortable giving Mike D's shit over. And first, kind of an understanding. Anyone who's been in their job for a long time knows this. With experience comes patience. You don't rush anymore. The easiest version is an NFL quarterback, right? They can't read anything. Everything's going too goddamn fast. And then once they've done it for a while, the offense slows down. They know to read two, three reads and then go to that last receiver. In this instance, I think that Mike D was told, fix the locker room and bring in someone to do a change of pace. And I think that, you know, he saw Chris Paul become available and he pounced. If I'm going to give him crap, I wouldn't have minded if he was a little patient with that. Chris Paul probably would have been available regardless of how long he waited. And had he waited longer, they might have been able to get Drew Holiday. Now, maybe the team prefers having Chris Paul, and this is the exact outcome they want. But if I'm going to give him shit for anything, that's what I'd give him shit for, is that he didn't have the experience enough to wait and see what all the options were before he made that move. I won't add the minus, but I will say B, if forced, MT. So I heard you, incomplete, that's fair, and we'll revisit this. But as of now, if forced to give a grade, that grade is?
I would go B as well. If we're doing midterms, and I think it's just because Paul and Saric are veteran leaders who feel, to me, more likely one-to-one comparisons to Otto Porter and Bielitsa. Just that role of a veteran, understanding the system, understanding their role, buying in. Like Draymond said, he said he took for granted the fact that the chemistry that they had built over 11 years was, you know, wasn't how it always would be. And then he realized it after, you know, the punch in last season. So it's not something that you build back right away, but I think having the right people in place helps it. And I think those are two people who will help build the culture back the right way and are okay with a smaller role than what their talent probably could command. And so, yeah, I'd give him a B.
We'll go personal for our next question. Quote, Huddle Boys, if you pick up food from a restaurant after ordering it to go, do you leave a tip? So I'll tell you right now, this is a thing that's plagued me for years. I'm not sure what the right move is here. Maxime, you seem to be the most like generous of us, probably. I mean, I think Marcus is going to tell us he's that generous, but I think you probably do it. Dude, are you dropping tips?
I do. I always do. Yes. My general take, and look, I think there's a lot of reason to be annoyed at this, because it's not even just picking up food at some random takeout restaurant. It's also like going to the 7-Eleven, because they're all using these Square services, and they'll just be like, let's see if these guys tip, and flip the screen around and you have your options. And then they're doing shitty stuff like putting the most amount of tip on the left instead of the right. It's all bananas. But I've had some friends that manage restaurants, that serve within restaurants, and over again, I see how hard these people work, and I see how underpaid they are relative to the industry. I don't make a ton of money, but you know, I'm in a position where I can provide a little bit, and so I'm going to. I just feel like it's not hard for me to do, and it helps them out more than that money's going to help me.
Do you tip at 7-Eleven?
Hell no. I'm just saying, I understand the frustration, right? It's like a slippery slope of a thing, you know, where we didn't used to ask for tips on takeout. Now we do. But especially in the pandemic, when people were doing takeout at the expense of dine-in situations, you know, it's like, yes, it's easier for us, but people rely on the overall income. We have I don't need to get into the economics of it. I'll leave it there.
Sir, that Slurpee machine was amazing. Here's a tip.
I have to stroke. So I am a man of routine, to no one's surprise. And there is a soup spot I go to constantly out here in the city. San Francisco Soup Company. I like it. And in the post pandemic, dude, there's not a lot of people downtown. And so I see the same people and I'm sure they recognize me. And there's that move of, I go in, I get the soup. And then just as Maxime's described, if you're using a credit card, the thing flips over and you have to press the button, you know, 20%, 10%, 5%, nothing. And I will occasionally like dip into the 10%, but that's only because the guy is staring at me right there, you know? And like, I think they can tell like what it is, like they know the total will jump a certain amount. And so out of peer pressure, I will do it. If I'm being transparent, if I'm left by myself, if that dude had to like take a call, you know, like after I ran the card, I'm going 0% and getting the fuck out of there hella fast. So I'm selfish and susceptible to peer pressure. MT?
Yeah, I do it, and not just saying it, but I worked in the service industry growing up. I had a few jobs in it and just appreciate the tips. So I just try to pay it back for the people who tipped me when I was in that position. But I agree that the pressure to do it is just unrelenting, and it's a lot. So okay. If it's to go, I do the 10%, 15% if they only have 20, 15, and 5, but I'm not happy about it. I feel like it's just kind of a, I don't know, it's the pressure of it is weird.
I have zero experience working in food, but I've had a ton of jobs that required too much of me. And you know what kind of tips I got? Zero. I didn't get shit. They didn't think about that at any time in any place ever. So I get where you're coming from, and I'm already the asshole on this show, but I won't get myself in too much trouble. I'll just leave it there.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to basketball. Maxime, take this one first. And it's the issue everyone has pointed out. Everyone knows finishing games. Finishing games is what matters, not starting, finishing games. But it's always in the context of who starts, right? We hear that sentence when they're defining who should start for the Warriors. And never continues on to say, and this is who should finish. So finish the sentence for us. Who should finish games for the Golden State Warriors, Maxime?
Right. So I feel like the conversation of who should start games is all about the individual players and sort of their feelings around what it feels like to have their name called as the lights are dim, you know, and everybody's roaring for them, because you don't get your name called if you're coming off the bench. I think that matters for people, right? So the finishing the game, now we're talking strategy. This is X's and O's. Obviously, Steph Curry is going to be there. Obviously, Draymond Green is going to be there. I would say, obviously, Wiggins is going to be there because we just talked last time about him being our number two guy. The rest is going to be a little bit matchup dependent. I think if the teams are bigger, Kevon Looney is just so solid. He's never going to be the like lob threat necessarily that somebody like a JaVale McGee was for us, but he's also never going to be out of position. He's never going to fuck up, and you need somebody who's just not going to fuck up. I don't trust any other big on our team to the degree that I trust Kevon. So that leaves one space left. And I think the obvious omission here from who we hear often called out at the start of the lineups is Klay Thompson. You know, and that's also, that would either be Klay or Chris Paul, and that's what it's going to come down to, and that's what I mean by it's matchup dependent. I think more likely than not it's Klay, and that's for the simple fact that Klay can guard up. We've seen him be able to guard even up to the four position, and like I think Chris is going to get worked a little bit harder than that. He's older, you know. And we're hoping that Klay is moving back into a quicker step, and I would imagine Chris Paul is moving away from that quicker step.
My analysis is pretty similar. Steph, Dre, Wiggs, put them in. Yeah, let me put it a different way. I think it's going to be dictated by the opponent or how well we happen to be playing. So three of those, Steph, Dre, Wiggs, in, right? Then opponent has to be considered. If it's Phoenix and they've gone super small, then we probably lose Loon and we put in both Klay and CP3. If it's a slightly bigger team and we need the rebounding, then Loon's in there. And now we're looking at, well, how well is Klay playing? Is he super hot? You know, CP3, do we need a more slow down, determined, designated offense? And that's why they brought him in, right? So that they could change the pace of the game. So it'll depend. I think it's kind of a cheating answer, but it's the real one. I don't think there is a, this is who needs to finish every game. You kind of have to roll with the punch. MT, do you agree?
I agree. I think it's matchup dependent and who's hot. But another name I'll throw in there that I think will sneak into that lineup, depending on how much defense we need, is Gary Payton II. He
over who? Who do you sit? I mean, he's in that provisional slot of Klay, CP3, and then GP2 kind of thing?
Exactly. Yeah. I think Klay or CP3 sit for that. Or Loon sits and we push Dre to the five, Wiggs to the four, or Klay to the four.
Yeah.
And then just have GP2 in there. And I only just say that because he plays so much bigger than his height, and we've just seen him be trusted in those situations where he's in there with 3-4 minutes to go, even 2 minutes to go. So I just history dictates that he will probably get some run if he stays in there as the ideal lineup. You know, TBD, yep. But I think he'll get his opportunities to prove that he should be in those lineups in certain situations.
Here's our next question. Quote, who do you consider the best, the worst, and the league pass team this year? So best, worst, explain themselves. League pass, that's the thing you pay for and can now watch all teams. League pass team basically means you're the person who you are cheating with. You know, it's the team who you're not actually associated with, but you happen to watch on the side and are entertained by. Maxime, best, worst league pass.
Okay, so we're talking objectively here, right? So in my mind, the best team is obviously the Warriors. The team I'm going to be watching the most of is the Warriors. But I think best at this point, I mean, it's so fascinating. In some ways, it might be cheating to say that if I say my best team is Milwaukee, then my league pass team would be Boston or vice versa. It's just so fascinating because you have such a radical shift in how these teams play. You know, I mean, maybe Boston, we can say they're the worst. I think their odds on favorites right now. And Milwaukee is just going to be so fascinating to watch that pick and roll with Dame and Giannis. So I'm going to put them in. Worst, I don't know. It might be Detroit or it might be Charlotte. I feel like Charlotte is more of the Schadenfreude team, right? That's the team that I like love to laugh at right now. I just feel bad for the Pistons. They've just been in mediocrity for so long. And then Cade Cunningham has had a multi-year injury. It feels bad to shit on them. So I'm going to give it to Charlotte.
MT, same question.
Best, I'm going to go Warriors. I think entertainment value, if I'm watching and want to be entertained, even if I wasn't a Warriors fan, the sheer possibility of Steph going off and having a memorable moment makes him must-watch TV. Least would be the Wizards. Not a fan of them, and shout out Scotty. I just think the, you know, like I don't really want to tune in just to watch Jordan Poole fall down and Kyle Kuzma to get 27 points on a nightly basis. But, you know, that may just be me. And then
I do.
League pass, I'm going to go with Milwaukee. Now, Boston is up there, but I just, to me, their games are going to be methodical and boring. Like, you know, they're just, they added the one player who's equally as like not passionate and methodical. Like Drew Holiday rarely smiles. He just hits a shot and just walks to the bench. Like, I don't want to watch, you know, a full season of that with Tatum and Brown. So it's interested to see how Dame and Giannis play together. And, you know, I think Milwaukee will be fun to watch.
For me, all right, best, just go objective. I mean, it kills me to say this, but I agree with Vegas. Boston, that move for Drew Holiday makes them on paper, the best team in the NBA, I believe. So there's that. League pass, OKC for me. If I'm just watching a team and want to be fired up, SGA, Chet, Holmgren, who we haven't seen shit of, both Jalen Williams, wherever the fuck they play, it's a fun team who plays a fun style, who I think is finally ready to actually try to win games instead of stockpile draft picks. But honestly, boys, this question is mostly about the worst team for me. So here's why. So look at them, right? By record last year, Detroit, 17 wins, Charlotte, 27. That's the Eastern side. West side, San Antonio, 22, Houston, 22. My pick, even though they have the most wins, is Charlotte. Now, talent reasons, there's other reasons here. But if I'm being honest, there's a political reason here, and it's this. I hate Miles Bridges. I'm just going to say it. We haven't talked about it on this show at all. So for those who are not familiar with the story, on the eve of free agency last year, a story about Miles Bridges came out. To make sure that we don't get sued, here's a snapshot of that story from the New York Times. Quote, Miles Bridges, the NBA forward who pleaded no contest to felony domestic violence in the fall, has been suspended for 30 games, the league announced on Friday. Bridges, 25, had played for the Charlotte Hornets for four seasons before he was accused of assaulting his girlfriend in front of their children last June. Bridges was arrested in Los Angeles June 29th. Around that time, Michelle Johnson, a former college basketball player who has two children with Bridges, posted photos on Instagram showing what appeared to be bruising and other injuries on her body. She did not mention Bridges, and the post was subsequently deleted. The Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office, in a news release, accused Bridges of causing, quote, great bodily harm. After pleading no contest to one count of felony domestic violence in November, Bridges was sentenced to probation and 100 hours of community service in order to attend counseling and parenting classes. And then we go down a little bit. 2 months ago, the Hornets gave Bridges a qualifying offer, which brings him back into the league. So it looked like this guy, after beating his wife in front of his children, allegedly, was going to be out of the league, very justifiably, much like Kevin Porter in Houston. But he's not. Charlotte signed them. He's back. They gave a press conference in which they described why they brought him back. And so if I have to pick a team of those four who I would like to be the worst, it's not a fucking hard pick, dude. He should not be in any job, let alone a job that is reserved for the elite of the elite. And I think it's disgusting that it's back. But I'll turn it into a question, all right? In the past, maybe rewind the clock 15 years, this story doesn't get brought up. He comes back in, we don't hear about it again at all, just basketball. But this isn't the past. You know, we're on the other side of Me Too. Hopefully we're in a new place, which leads to the question. Do you gentlemen think that there will be Miles Bridges stories throughout the year that people are going to hold his hand to this fire? Or will it just slowly become about basketball again? And, you know, that's it. We don't ever talk about it.
This went to a different path. Quickly.
How's that for a loaded question? But I mean, will they talk about it? I mean, it's not, of course we are not condoning him, and we don't have to go into the discussion of domestic abuse. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that we're very against that. But is the media now in a place when he comes into a new city, should he have to face questions about this? Because I say yes. It should be the first question he answers every time he gets up on that dais.
Yeah, and I think he will. Unfortunately, I think the way our media cycle works is that he will get those questions and then they will slowly taper off, and then it'll be back to basketball for him too soon. Especially when you consider if what allegedly was, stated, it actually happened, like the damage to, the other family members and the kids in particular is a lot longer lasting. So, I do think it will go away, unfortunately, but we also have to put it into perspective of how we deal with things and how we rationalize things as sports fans. We should have been equally as up in arms for the entire season about Anthony Lamb, if we're going to go there, right? So the fact that he is out of the league and now he's in Australia playing, he didn't get another offer. Is that
Miles Bridges played no contest though?
MT. Yeah, true.
That's an enormous difference. Anthony Lamb steadfastly said, "No bullshit, that's not true." Whereas Miles Bridges got in front of a court and said, "Yep, I did that."
Fair enough. Yeah. So apples to oranges, but I just think in general, when you're accused of a serious crime and the public court of opinion is, yes, you did that. It's just hard to separate the two, like apples and oranges, but at the end of the day, they're both true.
Yeah. Well, and sports is littered with stories where ultimately we cared about what happened between the lines, not outside of the lines, which is the only reason I'm bringing it up now, because it feels like we're in a different environment. And I hope it gets reflected, but I guess we won't know. We'll see. Even the press conference where they announced that they had given him the qualifying offer, it contained all the phrases we're used to, and it just seemed like it shouldn't be uttered in this context. I'd thank everybody for the patience they've shown with me, and I apologize to everyone who I caused embarrassment to, including my family. And it's kind of, the fuck do you mean embarrassment, dude? It wasn't embarrassment you caused your family, you beat them. But I digress. To put us on a less emotional topic, and Maxime, take this one. Who will have more technical fouls at the end of the season, Draymond Green or Dylan the Villain?
I love the conversation in our Patreon Slack channel about how, like, within 5 minutes of you talking about how Dylan Brooks had completely changed his image by not saying anything since his final press conference embarrassment against the Lakers, and then playing shockingly well for Team Canada, within 5 minutes he's getting ejected for a sack tap. So
for like a sack grab, he came around a screen and either accidentally or purposefully grabbed that dude's balls, which is an interesting defensive set.
Yeah, I would say if he's if we're saying that the things that Draymond has done, the stomp, the kick, are intentional, like Dylan Brooks is really pushing the line of what it looks like to be a horrendous actor, because that looked way more intentional than some of the shit that I've seen Draymond do. I don't know. I'd like to hope that the way that Draymond operates with some of his technicals is he allows himself to get more worked up. Like, don't get me wrong, dude is emotional, but I think my hope is that he has a little bit more of an understanding of sort of the political value of getting that technical for rallying up the team. This is a more mature team. We have Chris Paul, who's also a part of this rotation, to make sure that the young guys aren't sort of falling out of line. So I don't think that Draymond will need to as much, and I'm hoping that he proves me right, that he does have a little bit more self-control than leading the league in techs, in which case I'm giving it to Dylan Brooks.
MT, I'm going to change the question, and I want the associated question I'm really interested in. But first, a little explanation for those who may not have seen it. Yeah, so just as we said, Dylan Brooks had this great offseason, and everyone was kind of suddenly realizing his value. And then in their first preseason game, I think it was Daniel Theis. He's trying to get through a screen by Daniel Theis, and seemingly purposely hits him in the balls. Down goes Theis, out goes Dylan. He gets ejected. And so after the game, they ask him about it. You know, did you feel like that you have a target on your back? They ask him. And he asks to no one in particular, what's my nickname? And everyone's facial expressions scream, you have a nickname? And before anybody can answer shit, he goes, Dylan the Villain. I don't think he had that. I think he came up with that nickname, which leads to the follow-up question. MT, is it ever okay to give yourself a nickname? Are you allowed to just be like, this is how I need to be named from here on out? And it's just accepted? Like, what are the rules on nicknames? Because I feel like he violated some here.
The rule is you can't give yourself a nickname. That's for sure. That's rule number one. It has to be given. Rule number two is a lot of the times you can't like the nickname. Like, most people don't love the nickname. Like, KD doesn't like the Grim Reaper. You, Bram, didn't like Blessed Ankles. Like, you know, it's just, it comes with the territory. So, yeah, Dylan the Villain is something he definitely made up. I don't think anybody else in the league has ever called him that, except for, you know, words that shouldn't be mentioned on a family-friendly podcast.
I was immediately annoyed. The only successful self-nicknaming scenario I've ever seen, Black Mamba and Kobe. Mm-hmm. And it was right after Kill Bill 2, where they had like multiple scenes dedicated to Black Mambas. And that fool came out talking about, I'm Black Mamba now. But pulled it off, and now it's history. And in equally related news, Dylan Brooks and Kobe Bryant, different places in the league, dude. So, you know, I'm not sure if he's earned the right to go through there. Maxi, have you ever had a nickname you hated?
No. I was given the nickname Simo by my friend's dad, but that's the only nickname I've ever had. I just went by Maxime my whole life.
I've been given a recent nickname, The Hater. That is 100% true by more than a few people, and it is completely accurate. I hate so many things so frequently that it just is what it is. You know, I mean, what the hell are you going to say?
Well, you know, if anybody wants to write in to huddle@warriorshuddle.com and give any of us nicknames, I'm very curious to hear them. I think The Hater is fine, but come on, we can do better for Bram. I think that's some low-hanging fruit. So let's try a little harder, fam.
Lest you thought I was asking for another nickname, I am not. You can shoot those emails immediately to these two fools. I do not need any other nicknames in our life. I had another segment here, but we're going long. Instead, I'll tease it. So we are in the process of putting together a shirt that memorializes, celebrates, goes back into the Warriors' tenure in Oracle. And in fact, this shirt is going to celebrate the top 10 moments, or we're not sure however many moments. And that's the segment, is we're going to figure out which moments need to be included in the shirt. We won't do it now. Instead, I'll just make it both a tease for a future segment and kind of a commercial for a future shirt. With that in mind, let me throw out, if you would like to get us an email, certainly not a nickname, but an email, let us know we did a good job, bad job, any job. You can send that to
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
Yeah. Marcus, if they want to not listen to the past episode, where do they go for that, dude? Is there like a spot for that? Or?
Yeah, my house. We just hang out.
Boom. There you go. With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you real soon.
Good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.